in the triune God. God, we quieten to listen God's word, which is written in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. I will start reading from verse 12 to 16. The words are in Jesus' name, as read follows. For God's word is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts of intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not any high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Here, before this text that we read, is warned in the Hebrew congregation that you need to take hold of God's promises, and so you one day receive that rest which is promised in God's word. And this is why the text is beginning, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as following, this God's word, it is powerful. It was written in the Bible. In the beginning there is the word, and the word was with God, and God was the word, and the word became as flesh and lived in our midst, and we see his honor is full of grace and truth. Everything was created in the beginning, that which is seen in that which is not. God said, come light, and light came. And God started his creation work, which ended there, that he created a human in his own image and sent human to the paradise, where everything was taken care of. It was good to be there. But this enemy of souls, who is jealous of humans' joy, then makes in doubt into these first people. And this is what started this original sin that is making our journey difficult. We find fault in ourselves, in our works, and even those things that we do not do, we find fault in letting things not be done that should be. Those things that we read here in this word. We have to make account. If a person is without God's grace, he has a heavy situation when he can, that understanding that God is all seeing and nothing can be hidden from God or be secret from God. A person may feel winning if all his bad if everything that is done by a person is need to making account with God, in front of God, everyone needs to account for their actions in front of God. But for that type of person, God gives his grace, provides, offers his grace. He has prepared for us through his gospel righteousness, which is acceptable unto him. When the falling into sin happened in paradise, God knew the position of man and went to paradise and called to Adam, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam said, "I was afraid." And God said, "Have you not eaten from that tree that I told you not to eat?" I denied from eating. And in the end, Adam and Eve confess their falling. And God, as a gracious, graceful father, clothed them and put them to into farmers and take them out of paradise, drive them out of paradise. And they are given a task to serve and preserve the creation. But he did not condemn them, but as a loving father, gave them clothes and put them to farm the earth. And they promised of the coming Jesus Christ and informed that through the wife's seed will be born the one that will crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent shall sting him in the heel. These are the words God promised a savior to be born, which the old saints of the Old Testament held this promise and found their way to heaven. We also have a promise where we can hold on to, which is the same type of promise that as we hold this promise in to the end, and we through the gospel and righteousness we receive throughout this, we end our life in this way, we find our way to heaven. In this text, we are comforted when we have a great higher priest that has in let's hold fast to this our profession. In the Old Testament, in the serving God, this there was this was task given to the high priest that came once a year, that went to go into the holiest of holy of the temple, and they could not go there without blood. And they made an offering on behalf of own and the sins of the citizens. And so in this way, God saw this offering, and in this way, once a year was done. And this was a picture of the real high priest, Jesus Christ, which in Hebrews is said, and there's in one offering fulfilled forever, for everlasting. For those who believe upon that, there was no need for many offerings after. Only one offering was enough for the rest of eternity. So Jesus Christ, our Lord, fulfilled the perfect work, his Father's demanding task to the end, and fulfilled that promise, which God had given to that those fulfilling the law. Here, as it says, here is the Son of God, the high priest of that is passed into the heavens after his death on the cross. God wakened him on the third day and took him unto heaven. There are many who have testified, seen that he has risen to heaven, and after rising, also seen on this earth, after living on this earth after his rising. We remember how Thomas, who doubted him, who said, "I don't believe unless I see and feel the wounds," and he gave especially to him this teaching, "Thomas, come and put your hands in my wounds and believe and don't doubt." And this when Thomas could see his Savior, he said, my Lord and my God. Here in this way, Jesus as the highest priest through the heavens, passed onto the heavens, is still in our midst. Jesus has promised that anywhere where one or two has gathered in my midst, I will be with you. In this way, these sermons are worth to hold as the promise of Jesus is now in our midst in these services, and he wants to release the good word of the gospel to those who feel in their heart that they need this gospel. In those, even those who have not yet believed, or those who feel they are lacking God's peace, the peace, they won't receive this peace. And this gospel also, especially, belongs to you. Uplift your heart, believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. The Bible promises that those that believe, God will give strength to become child of God. In this work of the kingdom of God, we can approach each listening to this God word. But here we are talking about the highest priest, which is said that let us hold fast of our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched and feeling of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like we are, yet without sin. In the Bible, it tells us about those temptations which the enemy of souls presented unto Jesus, those which are typical, such as about bread, which for each of us humans is familiar. Some phase of life, maybe there have, for many of us have been, is there maybe enough for all the needs of our life? The enemy of souls presented unto Jesus he had fasted for 40 days, was thirsty. The enemy of souls tempted, said, "If you are the Son of God, these stones will move to turn to bread." It is true that Jesus surely would have been able to do this, but that would mean that he would succumb to the request of the enemy. But Jesus fought perfectly, not even in the weakest moment, given the enemy of souls anything of his demand. He answered unto the devil that He people man does not live only of bread, but also all the words that are of God's mouth. God or Jesus rejected using before written God's word all temptations of the enemy of souls. And then Jesus had won his first temptation, and then the enemy of souls brought him onto the top of the temple and said, "Throw yourself down so that God's angels can carry you down so that you don't be injured." There may be some tasks where we have managed well, or maybe we deserve some merit for some work we have done in this life. We might have the enemy of souls on our shoulder telling us that aren't you quite good at doing this? And these people are giving you merit for this task, for this work. This kind of temptation we may have, but Jesus had seen even this, seen through this temptation, and said in this way, and it's also written that thou shalt not tease thy Lord, thy God. In that way, Jesus saw our temptations, and even once more, the enemy of souls tempted Jesus, brought him on top of a high mountain, and showed all the world and its glory to him, and said to him, "This I will give to you if you fall in front of me and bow to me." That was quite a lie from the enemy of souls. He put everything onto one card and thought that Jesus surely would fall to this if I offer all the money, everything of this world to Jesus. What did Jesus say in this moment? "Lord, your Lord, you need to fear thy Lord and only to serve him." In this way, God's Son has won all temptation in good. He can feel sorry for our weaknesses, us in our weaknesses, understands our temptations. He has felt all this. He has been tempted in the same way as we have, and done this without sin. This is our comfort, that when we make way on this journey and we feel bad and feel weak and sin is sticking to us, we have this type of support through with his father, beside his father. He has done this defending us, children of God. This is what this last verse is referring to. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." In the older translation, it says that we find grace when we need help. What is this grace throne? We, children of God, know about the throne of grace. It is a picture of that Old Testament. There in the holiest of holy, in the Old Testament, there was a throne made of gold. There was the cherubims that were protecting it, and on which Almighty God received the sorrows, and Moses many times. Jesus, Moses had gone in front of a God and asked of how the citizens should be led, and this is a picture of the truth for us children of God. There is in this kingdom of God a grace throne, and upon that throne sits the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is good word coming from this throne about the grace blood, the voice of the grace blood. It is comforting. It is a comforting place and familiar place. We can come to God whenever we have the need to hear the gospel, the blessing. God wants us to go with courage to the throne of grace. We can go with courage. We don't need to think that we have so many times have gone before. I have so much to say. There are so many sorrows, so many sins, that God probably has forgotten me. It's not like this, but God is calling that can come with courage. Even in these services, brother and sister, you have the ability to go to this grace throne. You can believe all doubts, temptations, trials of this road. Every day is said that there is something against God that we have fallen. You can believe all this forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Here on this grace throne, it is comforting and gives us strength for this journey. The enemy of souls, he might sit there beside and say that this does not affect you as you are such a weak traveler. But God says, yes, it is touching. It is for you who feels this encouragement, who feels the need of encouragement to believe that in that form and way that you find yourself, all sins and doubts and are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. This is how it is comforting us, and this is how we can continue in these services to listen to the word of God, and we can thank the Heavenly Father for this, what we have heard in the previous sermon. It is a beautiful day to old services and listen to the word of God. Here in the end of this sermon, I would like to ask, may I believe my sins forgiven? I wish to remain in faith with you. We say comforting in Jesus' name, amen.